You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Tuesday, 20 April. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Gary Boyce, and I want to pick his brains about agri-stocks. More and more data coming out about a bumper agri-crop. How do we make some cash from this on the JSE? Or perhaps we don't. Nolan Vapanar from Anchor Capital. Absa's closing their money market fund. Is this the end of these products? I don't want to dig around that. What do you do if you got some of that 80 billion rand as your money? And then Herman from Volsa Stanlib, and their preferred local sectors. A poll yesterday, we asked you about gold. It was moving higher, but we asked the miners. They not. Is there an opportunity in the gold miners? 37% said yes, they'll run. Interestingly, Twitter a lot more bullish on gold than LinkedIn. 31% not convinced. 32% wait and see. Short answer, yeah, evenly split down the middle almost. MoneyWeb Now, brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable, income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Headlines, MoneyWeb Imperial to net almost $1.5 billion from the sale of their South American shipping business. I forgot they owned that business. They bought it about 7 years ago or so, and they're saying thanks but no thanks. Remember when we chatted with Dricus Grombrink? He said shipping kind of makes no money 8 years out of 10 and then makes it all back in those last two. Business Day, Coca-Cola's bottlers listing will add another blue chip to the JSE. This is going to be great. It's going to list Amsterdam and the JSE. Typically, those bottling companies are fairly defensive. It'll be a great addition. Morning markets, red all over the place. US down 0.5 for the S&P, 1% for NASDAQ. Asia, Sydney off 0.4, Tokyo off down 1.8. Commodities looking a bit better. Gold, 17.74. Rand, a little stronger, 14.19. And the top 40, a flat opening, 5 points down, which is practically nothing.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Checking now with Gary Boyson. He is, of course, portfolio manager at Rand Swiss. Gary, morning. Appreciate your early morning time. More and more data coming through that we're seeing bumper agricultural crops in South Africa. Certainly citrus has had a good year. Maize seems to be on track. All the other bits, wheat, etc. Your take? I mean, you've been doing some digging around. Is there opportunity, you know, perhaps in the crop agris, perhaps it's the manufacturers such as Tiger or the Zetas or Omnias? What's your take on the possible here?
Yeah, so I think before we start, let me just give you a qualifier. You know, yeah. Our kind of speciality here is really managing money across international markets, so US, UK, mm-hmm. Europe, and to do it, we run quantitative models, which really requires a consensus to get a sense of price discovery. Now, on the kind of companies that we're going to talk about today, which is Tiger Brands, Omnia, Astral, you don't often get that consensus because generally they are lower liquidity, and you don't have kind of enough analysts covering the company to really get that accurate price discovery. But what that does give you is it gives you, like especially private clients, the ability to go into it with a little bit of fundamental research and get things at a massive bargain, which I think is what we're going to try and look for today. Looking at, as you say, the bumper crops, we are sitting in a very unique situation for agri at the moment. So on the one hand, you're absolutely right. We're looking at it across the board, you know, basically bumper yields. We've had a very, very good year from a volume and a production point of view. Now, generally what that means is when you have this kind of increased production, it's just basic economics coming into play. The supply and demand equation plays out and you see prices falling. But because of the coronavirus and because of the disruption to supply chains in the international market, what's happened is that international prices have remained quite elevated. Now, what that means is the kind of raw materials producers are going to almost get windfall profits, but it is going to put pressure on companies that are up the value chain. So I think Tiger Brands, even AVI to an extent, definitely Astral Foods, in that the inputs to their businesses are going to be more expensive, even though we've got the other side of the coronavirus coin, which is essentially customers that are under pressure, and they're not going to be able to push through pricing increases. So they're kind of going to get squeezed. But the raw material manufacturers are in a position an almost unique position where they're going to be able to push through big price increases because they can always export, and they're going to have high volumes. So for me, the opportunity really is going to be in the raw material producers. I'm thinking the likes of Zeta.
Yeah, it's a good old-fashioned Zeta. Also, trading at a fair bunch of discount. I'd also, one of the stocks I've been looking at, and it's held up fairly well, is that Co-op Agri, and they're not directly in the space, but if farmers are having better years and they're going and buying new buckies or sort of tractors and the like, we could perhaps see some activity there, or am I getting too smart for myself?
I don't think so. So Co-op Agri is interesting because I think there might be some sort of corporate action around Co-op Agri just because of it being a component of Zeta. So and that kind of makes the valuation difficult. If you look at Zeta as a sum of the parts, it's an investment holding company. So they've already sold their Pioneer food stake. They've sold their Quantum food stake last year, and the company's kind of almost it hasn't come out with a clear strategic direction. But you get the sense that a lot of these things might be bundled up into PSG Alpha, which is the big shareholder. And you kind of look at the sum of the parts of that, and I have no problem with going into Co-op Agri, and it really depends if they decide to exit the business, and it depends what they do with it. If I just bring it back to Zeta, that's kind of where I see it. You're obviously going to get about 20% of the value of Zeta is going to be Co-op Agri anyway. But the I suppose the part I like is the Zart business, which they obviously own 97%. That makes up about just over a third of Zeta's value. But what we have, the opportunity, I think, anyway, is that obviously because of the investment holding company, is trading at about a 30% discount to the sum of the parts. So if they do almost collapse Zeta over time and kind of absorb it more into the PSG stable, which is obviously not announced or anything like that, you could see a release of around 30%. And that's I think, the opportunity in the sector for smaller investors.
Yeah, and of course, I'd forgotten Zeta owns some Co-op Agri, so you already kind of had it there already. Gary Boyson, Portfolio Manager at Rand Swiss, sir, appreciate your early morning time.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth, but with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place? Offshore, while earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP. Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Nolan Vapeno. He's a co-CIO at Anchor Capital. Nolan, appreciate your early morning. News out last week that Absa is going to be closing their money market fund. It's a giant fund. It's 80 billion ZAR. They haven't given, as I understand, any reasons as to why. I mean, with respect, if I had an 80 billion rand fund, I would probably hang on to it.
Good morning, Simon. Absolutely, as you say, I think the announcement was one of those that surprised me. Sit down when you read it and reread the fine print a few times to make sure you're not missing anything. The message from Absa was that many clients are confused as to the difference between the money market fund and Absa Bank, and specifically whether or not the money market fund is guaranteed by Absa Bank. And having looked at that, they decided to close the fund. Many market commentators have come out saying, look, that feels a bit spurious. We're not sure that that's all there is to it. I'm probably in the camp that just believes Absa. I'm sure they're playing open cards.
Yeah.
And what I suspect has happened is that Absa has looked at this and said, look, if this perception has arisen because of any marketing actions that Absa might have taken, then, there's a risk that the regulator will create a contingent liability for Absa for anything that goes wrong in the fund, and that contingent liability could be quite deep. So rather safe than sorry. And it's probably in that case the right thing to do, albeit incredibly surprising.
Yeah, It is, and it's one of the one of the biggest funds in the country. And an important distinction, because I want to delve into what do folks now do that if they were if they were part of that $80 billion. And you and I have chatted before that distinction between money market and income funds. And truthfully, the first category would be sort of cash in the bank, then money market, then income funds, and they run different risk profiles. In essence, supposedly different returns as well.
They very much do, ABSA has given investors some choices. None of those choices are ideal for everyone, mm-hmm. and therefore, to be honest, what folks should do is reach out to a financial advisor who is well-versed in fixed income, because your circumstances have changed, and therefore, get a specialist to look into this and to help you make your decision. That being said, I mean, the main difference is the ABSA Bank account. You've got a concentrated exposure. You've got exposure just to ABSA Bank, mm-hmm. Which, might be a good thing, might not. And bank accounts tend to have lower interest rates.
Yeah.
Conversely, your money market fund is basically the lowest risk unit trust investment that is available. And those tend to be exposed to a multitude of different banks or high quality institutions, but you're not exposed just to one counterparty. That being said, lowest risk fixed income investment equals a very low yield still. And given what is changing, my perspective is that many of these investors who were invested for the sake of ease or ease of transactions, ease of access, we'll find that that's changed, and they're therefore probably better off risking up slightly in this very low-risk environment, so that instead of locking up their money and earning circa 4% interest income, they can take very, very little additional risk and push that up to probably 5% interest income if they're just smart about how they invest. And that extra percent can count for quite a lot.
And that comes to the point you made a moment ago about actually, finding someone who's a specialist in income funds or in fixed income as an asset class, because there are lots of nuances. And in this, this current interest rate environment, 0.5% here or there makes a massive difference. And their tax implications. This is not a case of, let me just take it out and stick it in there. Proper advice is actually really valuable at this point.
Very, very much so. I've seen one or two advertisements that, basically say, look, you're earning 4% on money market funds. Mm. Why don't you come to us? You can earn 6%, 7%, whatever the number is. And my perspective on that is, yes, but there are different risks that the investor is exposed to. And the risks are subtle in fixed income. We're in equity culture as a nation. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it's not as apparent to your man in the street as such. But certainly, it's a delicate blend of credit risk, duration risk, potentially other asset class risk that you need to understand so you know what you're getting into. And you make sure that you're in something that will do what you need it to.
Yeah, and I remember last time we chatted, it's looking through. You mentioned the point then when you were talking, and it's not about the average risk of a fund. It's actually about the lowest risk, because that's where your risk actually sits. Nolan Vapanar, co-CIO, Anchor Capital, appreciate the early morning.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Herman van Velzer. He is head of equities and balanced at Stanlib. Herman, morning. Appreciate your early morning time. Markets, US more than we are, certainly on a bit of a tear, hitting those highs. Recovery trades as vaccines are being rolled out in developed market worlds more than ours, in the sense. Your sense, you and your team, is this a fair response as we do see sectors and economies opening up, consumers going out and spending again? Markets seem to be responding, what I would say, is probably fairly.
Good morning. Thank you very much for the invitation. Yes, for one, we have to be quite aware that we are in a massive economic boom.
Mm-hmm.
In the sort of developed markets, these extraordinary factors that are at play in terms of billions of dollars of money that has been sort of provided and pumped into the economy, and has really started to supercharge a fair amount of the world economy, which in a way is what is driving markets a lot quicker and faster than the vaccines. And from our point of view, the vaccines are useful to help economies open and get back into sort of open up the economy, but the driver has been cash, and that has been the big driver for the global economy, and hence we see the headlines of markets where they're rallying.
Yeah, and I mean, when you say cash, it's not small amounts. We're talking trillions being bailed out.
Well, it's also a very bad thing, because that's the next thing that happens, is that sort of caused that global imports are back to pre-pandemic levels. Mm-hmm. So if global trade picking up, and that has and that pushes up PMIs, and hence emerging markets coming to the same sort of slipstream of global activity. So that's the next phase that has developed for EM, is as global markets restock and consume, Asia and EM, and especially Europe, comes into play next. So that's the sort of second wave that we're now experiencing.
Yeah, that was going to be my point, which is that there is sort of it's happening in those stages, you know, and the U.S. definitely leading, both in terms of money they've thrown at the problem, but in terms of the rollout. The other economies, and if we look at ourselves in South Africa, we're sort of lagging in the vaccine rollout. It's starting, but very slowly. So are we, in a sense, therefore the next leg up, and perhaps opportunity more at home, or as you say, Asia or Europe, as opposed to perhaps the U.S.?
We're probably more concerned, and we've been, most commentators said that, for the third wave. So if we can avoid the third wave in some way or other, or that it's a lesser wave than you may have expected, mm-hmm. we will be then, that could be the vaccine trade. So our vaccines are probably going to take a lot longer to roll out to make it sort of significant factor in terms of the consumers and in terms of our off market. So we've sort of quite, it's going to be that sort of fourth quarter in the year, vaccines will be in South Africa to the extent that we can see it, and you can sort of go anywhere and get a vaccine if you need it. And then most of the EM are still very slow on vaccines. Asia and China have hardly started, and they're not in a need to rally that, to accelerate that either.
Are we seeing, I mean, you mentioned sort of towards the end of the year, and that certainly ties in with Health Minister's expectation around herd immunity, and that might slip into Q1 of next year. Are there sectors that you look at locally which would be preferred for you and your team at Stanlib?
Yeah, I think the sector that's already, in our opinion, right at the moment, we thought it would have performed a lot better is the SA insurance sector.
Mm-hmm.
The high beta sector. And if you read the recent reports from insurers, that they effectively have managed that rather well. Their capital adequacy is looking good. They've had a surge in claims, and they've made the provisions. So I'm quite surprised that the market has put insurers on the back burner right at this point. You would have thought that with this little rally and the recovery in financial markets, banks and other retail shares, that insurers would have been in the same play. But that's not. Markets ignored him.
Yeah.
Give me the third wave, then call me. Sort of wake me up in 6 months. But we would think that's probably too conservative if you are actually a market player.
Yeah.
And they're out of favor. Nobody talks to him. I mean, they just sort of, what about them? Move on. And that, in my mind, is quite attractive for investors. You want the investors where the markets are saying, and they will wait 3 months and then or 4 months and then call us. But this is, in my opinion, a sector that is a high beta sector. The market is currently in high volatility, and you would expect these names to rally. And the data is encouraging in the sense that their sort of the persistencies and lapses are low. Mark people aren't hanging their policies or withdrawing from their savings. So that's, in my opinion, a good start if you're looking for a sector that's probably been sort of left lagging.
I like that, and I take your point. You want to be in before everyone wakes up. When they wake up, they can push that price for you. SA Insurance Stocks, that's a great idea. Herman von Volzer, Head of Equities and Balance at Stanlib, appreciate your time this morning. The show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Medical 32, a multi-tenanted Class A medical office building located in Jacksonville, Florida. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest is an authorized financial service provider, license number 50483. The poll I want to ask this morning, chatting with Gary Boyson about those bumper crops and agri investments on the JSE. Are you buying into this theme? Yes, already in the profits. No, too volatile, or perhaps just not convinced. Gary, liked Zeta. You can go and have your vote on our Twitter account as well as our LinkedIn account. That's it for today. We live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app at 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Cordora, Nicole, Matapela, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.